ಸವಾಯ್ ತದೈವ ಪ್ರತಿಪಾದಿತಂ ಗಿರಾಂ ದೈವಿಂ ಪರಿಜ್ಞಾತ ಪರಾತ್ಮ ನಿರ್ಣಯಃ ತಂ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಭಾವೋ ಅಭ್ಯಗೃಹಾತ್ ಅಸತ್ ಪರಂ ಪರಿಸ್ರೋತೋರು ಸ್ರವಸಂ ಧ್ರುವಕ್ಷಿತಿಃ ಸಹ ಧ್ರುವ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ವೈ ಸರ್ಟನ್ಲಿ ತದಾ ಅಟ್ ದಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಏವ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಪ್ರತಿಪಾದಿತಂ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಅಟೈನ್ ವಿರಾಮ್ ಸ್ಪೀಚ್ ದೈವಿಂ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟಲ್ ಪರಿಜ್ಞಾತ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟುಡ್ ಪರಾತ್ಮ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಸೋಲ್ ನಿರ್ಣಯ ದ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಷನ್ ತಂ ಟು ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಭಾವ ಸಿಚುವೇಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಅಭ್ಯಗೃಣಾತ್ ಆಫರ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ಸ್ ಗುರುಸ್ರವಸಂ ಹೂಸ್ ಫೇಮ್ ಧ್ರುವಕ್ಷಿತಿ ಧ್ರುವ whose planet would not be annihilated. At that time, Dhruva Maharaj became perfectly aware of the Vedic conclusion and understood the absolute truth and his relationship with all living entities. In accordance with the line of devotional service to the Supreme Lord, whose fame is widespread, Dhruva, who in the future would receive a planet which would never be annihilated, even during the time of dissolution, offered his deliberate and conclusive prayers. Purport. There are many important items to be considered in this verse. First of all, the relationship between the absolute truth and the relative material and spiritual energies is here understood by a student who has complete knowledge of the Vedic literature. Dhruva Maharaj never went to any school or academic teacher to learn the Vedic conclusion. But because of his devotional service to the Lord, as soon as the Lord appeared and touched his forehead with his conch shell, automatically the entire Vedic conclusion was revealed to him. That is the process of understanding Vedic literature. One cannot understand it simply by academic learning. The Vedas indicate that only to one who has unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord as well as the spiritual master is the Vedic conclusion revealed. The example of Dhruva Maharaj is that he engaged himself in devotional service to the Lord according to the order of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. As a result of his rendering such devotional service with great or nice prayers to the Lord, but because he lacked sufficient knowledge, he hesitated. But by the mercy of the Lord, as soon as the Lord's conch shell touched his forehead, he became completely aware of the Vedic conclusion. That conclusion is based on proper understanding of the difference between Jiva and Paramatma, the individual soul and the super soul. The individual soul is forever a servant of the super soul, and therefore his relationship with the super soul is to offer service. That is called Bhakti Yoga or Bhakti Bhava. Dhruva Maharaj offered his prayers to the Lord not in the way of the impersonalist philosophers but as a devotee. Therefore it is clearly said here, Bhakti Bhava. The only prayers worth offering are those offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose reputation is spread far and wide. Dhruva Maharaj wanted to have the kingdom of his father, but his father refused even to allow him to get on his lap. In order to fulfill his desire, the Lord had already created a planet known as Pole Star, Dhruvaloka, which was never to be annihilated, even at the time of dissolution of the universe. Dhruva Maharaj attained this perfection not by acting hastily, but by patiently executing the order of his spiritual master. And therefore, he became so successful that he saw the Lord face to face. Now he was further enabled by the causeless mercy of the Lord to offer fitting prayers to the Lord. To glorify or offer prayers unto the Supreme, one needs the Lord's mercy. One cannot try to glorify the Lord unless one is endowed with his causeless mercy. Om jnanati mirandasya jnananjana sadakaya chakshuram mritam yena tasmai sri guru.
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यानरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरि शृण्वतां सकतः कृष्ण पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः हृद्यन्तस्थो हि अभद्राणि विधुनोति सुहृत्सतां नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी तदा रजस्तमो भावा कामलोभादयश्चेत् चेता एतैरनाविधं स्थितं सत्त्वे प्रसिद्ध्यति एवं प्रसन्नमनसो भगवद्भक्तियोगतः भगवत्तत्त्वविज्ञानं मुक्तसङ्गस्य जायते भिद्यते हृदयग्रन्थिश्चिद्यन्ते सर्वसंशयः क्षीयन्ते चस्य कर्माणि दृष्टैवात्मनेश्वरे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 9 वर्स नंबर 5 लाइक वी ऑलरेडी नो इन भगवद गीता 7th चैप्टर 16th verse, this said that Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna, artho jignasur arthati jnani cha bharatar sabha. Four kinds of, best among the bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. So what is very important to note here is, four kinds of pious men, not impious men. So of course there's a previous verse which says namam dushkritino mudha sukritina dushkritina. So best among the bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. Who are those four people? The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for the knowledge of the absolute. So Dhruva Maharaj comes in which category among these four? The desirer of wealth. So he perform this great austerities. Of course, the Lord says in the further verses that Tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyate priyo hi jnani nothyartam aham sacha mama priyaha. And of these, one who is in full knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Like, so he says that one who is in knowledge, he is the best out of these four. And then he says, Udara sarva evaite jnanitvatmaiva me matam astita sahi yuktatma maam eva nuttamam gatim. He says that undoubtedly all these devotees are magnanimous souls. Why is that? Because they have come to Krishna instead of going to someone else like demigods and so many. So undoubtedly they are all magnanimous souls. And the Prabhupada writes in the purport that they are all mahatmas, because they have chosen to come to Krishna, even though they are full of material desires. That itself is very good, because when they are in trouble, a pious person, whenever there is some trouble, immediately surrender to the Lord. All the demigods, like in this very same chapter, the previous chapter we read, all the demigods, when the entire universe was choked, suffocating, without the, was suffocated because of the severe austerities, and Dhruva Maharaj had closed all the holes of the body and he made himself so heavy like Vishnu. Everything, all the entire breathing of the universe was completely choked up. At that time the demigods immediately surrendered to the Lord. So this is very, very important for us to know what is the difference between a divine and demoniac natures. Of course, in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says the divine and demoniac natures. What is the criterion difference between the divine and demoniac? So, what is the criterion difference? Because the Lord is saying there are two classes of being. One is divine and the other demoniac. So, what is the criterion difference between these two? The divine people, they follow the scriptures. Scriptures and authoritative sources, and by the authorities they don't act anything whimsically. That is why they are abiding by they are subservient. They understand that they are subservient and they have an authority and they abide by the scriptures. Whereas the demoniac, they do not follow any scriptures, they don't follow any authority, and all their acts are very whimsical. So this is, and when they are in trouble, they never take shelter of anywhere. They depend on their own speculative, illusory energy. But the devotees of the Lord, as soon as there's trouble, immediately they surrender to the Lord. So this is where the main criterion difference between divine and demoniac. Although they are all coming from the same Prajapatis, but only thing is they are like they take this. And the Lord of course says in the very last part of the 16th chapter, for such people I perpetually put them in hellish conditions and suffer so much. So that is why now coming back to this Dhruva Maharaj, he is the example for this desirer of wealth. Even though he desired wealth, he approached the proper goal. Like, you know, he approached the proper authority, like the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though it was material. So, of course, in the second canto, third chapter, 10th verse, it is said that akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena ijeta purusham param. One who has broad intelligence, whether he is full of material desires or whether has no desires or desiring liberation, in all circumstances surrender to the Lord. So that is why the Lord says that whoever surrenders to him, even though they are full of material desires, the Lord is very happy because they have come to the right source from where actually even Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that people, they worship, even though they worship though so many demigods, they are doing avidhi purvakam, indirect worship, because everything that they are going to get is actually coming from me only. But they are doing in a indirect way, in a wrong way. So now coming back to Dhruva Maharaj, he is a perfect example. He is actually Acharya. What does Acharya means? one who shows by an example. So he's actually an Acharya, because he's showing us how one has to completely devote themselves in devotional service with great determination. That is what is very striking in the lifetime of Dhruva, the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj. He was so determined. Such a young boy of 5 years old, can you imagine 5 year old boy getting so disturbed by the words of the insulting words of the harsh words of the stepmother? Very, very, like, you know, he's showing that Kshatriya spirit there. He was very much insulted, and the austerities that he performed at such a young age, he pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which was impossible to attain. He asked for a planet, like his father was the ruler of the world and his great-grandfather was the ruler of the entire universe, and he wanted to have a position even greater than his father, great-grandfather and great-grandfather. And by this austerities and penances, he pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord himself, he came and said that although you have asked, whatever you have asked is very, your desires were very ambitious, but nevertheless I will bestow upon you. And he gave a planet, supreme planet, the planet of glowing planet Dhruva, which is called Dhruva Nakshatra, the pole star, glowing pole star. Then he said that, and also he said that, of course, in the further verses he says that after your father leaves to forest and hands over the kingdom, you will be ruling over the kingdom for 36,000 years and you will never become old. Your senses will be in the same order how it is now. So that's what he gets, this benediction. And after enjoying the material happiness ruling, and at the very end, you'll come back to me. Once you come back to me, you'll never come back to this material world. So the devotees, by their devotional service, they enjoy the life now of material happiness, and also they get a perfect goal at the end of their life. So this is what the exemplary activities of this Dhruva Maharaj is, an example that he followed a perfect process. What is that? The very first thing in devotional service, Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion, is that one has to take Guru Pada Ashraya. Take the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and take the Diksha Guru and accept Diksha from the bona fide spiritual master. So that is all the process that Dhruva Maharaj followed, was a perfect. And he was so determined. And also Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Instruction, Utsaha Nishchayadharya Tattat Karma Pravartanat. So he followed this Utsahan. He was very enthusiastic to perform devotional service, which is very preliminary quality, qualification required. He was very utsaham, very enthusiastic. That's very important. Unless we are enthusiastic, we cannot go very far in devotional service. So he was enthusiastic and utsaham nishchaya. He was very confident. And dhairya means patience. One needs that patience, determination and patience. Everything will not have overnight. Like today I started to chant the holy name and next day I will not see Krishna. We have to endeavor with great patience. But Dhruva Maharaj's austerities was so intense that he attracted the mercy of the Lord within 6 months. Which so many yogis, they meditate for millions of years. They cannot get that. But Dhruva Maharaj's austerities was very, the Lord became, and such a small boy of 5 years old, doing so intense devotional service, the Lord was very pleased. Of course, we perform so many austerities, penances, sacrifices. Ultimately, it is not only our endeavor. We need the mercy of the Lord. Even Lord Brahma, like in the beginning, Narad Muni said that, I thought like you are the supreme because you have created everything and everything is in within a nutshell like a walnut, you know. Everything is within you. Now I see that like, you know, you are still meditating. So there is somebody more supreme than you. Then Lord Brahma says that, no, like actually I am not the supreme. I have created what has already been created. I am putting them together and creating. And at one point in time, like Brahma, when he was first created, he sitting on the lotus flower, he didn't know his source, where he came from. And he was contemplating and he didn't know how to put things together to do creation also. So he didn't know the direction, how to put all the things together. So at that time, he was sitting in the waters, he was thinking. At that time, he heard two syllables from the sky, like, you know, he was just hearing that and he got a clue. That he looked, where is the source of that sound coming from? He didn't know the source. Then he thought that he heard this two syllables, tappa, tappa, like that. He got a clue that he has to do this austerities. Then he did severe austerities for 1000 demigod years. Then finally the Lord gave him, empowered him to do creation. Of course, in the same chapter, Suniti gives the example of to Dhruva Maharaj, that why it is, why this devotional service is so potent. She is giving the example of Brahma and also his Swayambhuva Manu. They also did these great austerities and attracted the mercy of the Lord. So now coming back to this, so he did with lot of utsaha, nishchaya, dhairya, tattat karma pravartanat, and he followed a perfect process of accepting a bona fide spiritual master, and he took guidance from him and how to achieve this goal of life. So then Dhruva Maharaj, as in the beginning of the fourth canto, how it begins is, actually Maitreya Muni is telling all about the Swayambhuva Manus dynasties and their descendants. And in the process of telling, he narrated the Dakshayagna. Dakshayagna, and the entire pastime of Dakshayagna, where the daughter of Daksha was very much upset and she committed suicide. So those pastimes we heard in the first seven chapters of this canto. And then in the eighth chapter of this fourth canto, it begins with Brahma created the saintly sons like Narada, the four Kumaras and all that. And along with that, he also created demoniac spring. Maitreya is very much inspired to talk about these two great sons of Swayambhuva Manu, who were Priyavrata and Uttanapada. All the Priya, and they were very capable of ruling the entire universe. And although he could have talked about, and who was the older one? Priyavrata was the older son, and the second son was Uttanapada. Although he could have spoken about Priyavrata, but he was very much inspired to talk about Uttanapada's son, who was a great devotee. of the Lord, and he performed great austerities, and because of his pious activities, he was very inspired to first talk about this great devotee Dhruva Maharaj, from whom we can get so many lessons, and we can learn that how to detach all the material things by experiencing a higher taste in devotional service. He first approached the Lord with so much material aspiration, like to get a planet even greater than his great-grandfather also. But upon seeing the Lord, he completely detached himself from all the... And he also says in the later verses of this same chapter that I was so foolish to ask so much material things, knowing that you are able to bestow something that can stop the cycle of repeated birth and death. And I was so foolish that I asked something which will perpetually keep me in this material world. So that is what I was so foolish. Then he repents so much that for having... Then of course he says that I was looking for the broken piece of glasses when I got this diamond. What is the need? Why do I need all this for? So like this, his prayers, he's saying this. Like, you know, you are able to capable of ending the repeated cycle of birth and death. But I was so foolish. I was so like looking for so mundane material aspirations I had. But I was very, very fortunate that by your mercy, like of course today's verse, the Lord, just by touching the conch shell, all the Vedic conclusion is revealed to him. This verse which says that yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru tasya te katita hyartha prakashante mahatmanaha. Unto the great souls who have implicit faith in the spirit, in the Supreme Lord, and unto the spiritual master, all the imports of the Vedic literatures are revealed to such a person. So since Dhruva Maharaj followed the perfect process, the Lord's mercy, the Lord gave mercy, came, and because he was trying to glorify the Lord, because when he saw the Lord, he was so happy. He could see the Lord. When he was seeing the Lord, he was drinking the Lord's beauty and everything. He was so ecstatic. He was trying to say the praise. Because of his awkward position, he could not say. But just by the Lord's touching the conch shell on his head, all the Vedic conclusion was, and he could say the appropriate prayers to the Lord. So like that, very, very interesting. Of course, we know that how Dhruva Maharaj, he tried to sit on the lap of the father, and of course Suruchi, the stepmother, who was with so much pride and arrogance, she said that you cannot sit on the lap of your father, nor you can occupy the throne. If you have to sit on the lap of your father and get the throne, then you have to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and please him, and by doing that you have to take birth from my womb. Only then you can get this position. Until then you cannot. So when she spoke these harsh words, and when Uttanapada did not say a word, he did not react anything, he did not say anything, Dhruva Maharaj was very angry, very upset. Then he said that, then he left the palace crying, and he went and approached his mother, and he said to his mother that this is what my stepmother said. That indirectly Suruchi is telling that you have to first die and then take. Of course, even though Suruchi was so like, you know, with pride and all this she is telling, but actually the benedictions, actually indirectly we can think that she was actually guru of Dhruva Maharaj. Why? Because even though she said like that, but what she said, that was very, very valuable instruction. She said that you have to perform severe austerities and please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is such a very good instruction. Indirectly, Suruchi's words were benedictions to Dhruva Maharaj to become such a great devotee. Although from materially it appeared that she was very partial, but actually they were benedictions. Of course, Suniti also says, so when he comes crying to Suniti, she consoles him, so it's okay, like what to do, like, you know, you're very unfortunate having born from my womb, like, you know, your father, the king Uttanapada, he doesn't even think that I'm his wife, nor does he even think that I'm his maid servant. So then she is also very much, then she says that there is no material solutions for there is no material solutions for material problems, there is spiritual solutions for material problems. So she says that she gives one very interesting instruction which is applicable to all of us. She says that never wish inauspicious to anyone. Never wish any inauspicious things to anyone, because whatever we wish to others, that will come back to us only. We will have to suffer the reaction for that. So this is a very, very interesting instruction that Suniti is giving. She was also very devoted and very great devotee of the Lord. So she said that never think of any inauspicious things for others. Because whatever we think inauspicious to others, that's going to come back to us. We are going to face the same reaction. Then she says that although the words of the Suruchi, your stepmother, was very harsh, but still factually, that in reality, that is what is very good for you. You have to give up your envious mentality and then you have to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by doing that, all success can come to you. So then she said that only, that is the only remedy for this problem you are facing, like there is lamentation by the mother and the son. That is the only remedy, because there is no material solutions for material problems, there is only spiritual solution by the mercy of the Lord. And also she says that, then she gives an excellent preaching is to give an example. She is giving an example. Your great grandfather, Lord Brahma, he did great austerities and he could create. He got the mercy of the Lord and then he could create. And similarly, your grandfather, Swayambhuva Manu, also he did great austerities, penances, sacrifices, gave lot of charities, and he satisfied lots of brahmanas, and he did very, because of all this, he enjoyed the material happiness, and also ultimately he got the liberation. And so this is how they were very, very successful in because to convince Dhruva, she had to give these two examples. That they also did these great austerities. By these austerities, they became perfect. So like that, Suniti gave the example. And after that, Dhruva Maharaj, she accepted the instructions of his mother. Actually, Suniti was his Pada Pradakshaka Guru. She showed him the right path. And they are also in our devotional service. It doesn't mean only our guru, of course, the main, we have to take guidance from our Diksha Guru. Of course, in the process of our learning, there are so many gurus. Like first, we might meet somebody, we might not even be a devotee. First, we might meet somebody and they might tell us to come to the temple. And when we come to the temple, and that devotee might take care of us, and this devotee, I have asked him to come to temple. Now it is my duty to take care. Like that's what happened in my life actually. First when I met one devotee, when I just arrived in 1991, January, 14th January, I arrived into Melbourne. That time I happened to I was totally new and we had a big house, all opulence, but was not happy at all. Couldn't see anybody around. We came in 91. That time the population was very less. They weren't pretty much, we couldn't even see people on the road those days. So I wasn't very happy at all. Then we knew only one devotee whom we knew from India. So then we went to their house, and when we went to their house, one devotee came to their house. And they told me, even before this devotee arrived, they told us that we have invited one devotee now. He's Hare Krishna devotee. So he's going to come like that. We have invited him for the dinner like that. And they were preparing all the preparations. And they said that we are not allowed to taste, because they offer to the Lord. Then they gave me all the introduction and all that. Then the devotee actually arrived. And then the devotee came, and then it was Vijay Gopikesh Das. I don't know how many of you know. Then he introduced, he told that there's a very nice temple, please come and all. Then, as soon as he told, I was very happy. I have, this is a temple here, we should immediately go. Then I told my Prabhu, we should go. Then, the following Sunday, we had car, but my Prabhu didn't have license. So we had to travel by tram, train and all when we came to the temple. Then this devotee, as soon as they came, entered the temple, he looked after us so well. He cared for us and he looked after us very well. He sat with us, ate with us. So like that he gave so much care. So this is what is very, very important in devotional life. You know, when we get inspired, then we also become very... So like that it's very important to take care. So similarly what happened when we arrived, this is then 91 we arrived here and we got very much attracted. I came to the temple, saw the deities. Of course, I was more enamored by the marble floor and the lights and all that. Then from far just I did like that and we went upstairs. Then those days they used to bring a basket with the books. They used to have prasadam upstairs. In those days in 1991, they would lay so many plates, like the class used to happen, they would close this glass door in between, and upstairs they would lay like so many, like about 100 plates, they would make plates already prepared, like with all the items they would put on the floor, and then we would come and attend the class. Of course, we would attend the class and go upstairs, and they would bring a basket on the stairs when we would go, they would bring a basket with full of books. And then they would ask for donation, we'd put $10, they'd give us a book. Then take that book, then go upstairs and had prasadam. So this every week I was very happy to come to temple because I used to feel very good, you know, I used to see so many people here. At least outside I can't see even anybody here. So like that, then these books they were giving, then you know, my Prabhu said that so many books they are giving, you're not even reading, maybe you should start reading. Then I said, yeah, I can't say no when they give, I will take, but maybe I should read. I started to read the books. Oh, amazing. I said, all about the real life, you know. These books are not like the novels, it's not like that. It's about the real life. Very, very nice. Then I started to read book cover to cover. Cover to cover, all books finished. Then very inspired to come. Then this devotee, he developed us very well. Then he told, now you are reading, you have to start teaching children now. Like, you know. So like this, all these instructions we got like that. So then, of course, coming back to Dhruva Maharaj pastime. So the Dhruva Maharaj, then you know, Narad Muni, then he goes to the forest. Then Narad Muni, he feels, he comes to know that this is what is happening. Dhruva Maharaj is going. Because how does he know? He was not even there at the site. How did he know about all this? Because Narad Muni is Trikalagna. He knows past, present, future. So he came and told to Dhruva Maharaj, how wonderful that are these Kshatriyas who cannot tolerate a slight infringement on their pride, you know. Pride, this they cannot tolerate even a slight infringement. Huh? So even at such a small age, 5 years old, this boy is feeling so much sense of honor. He is insulted and he is feeling so much grieved. Then he says that, then he gives a lot of philosophy to Dhruva Maharaj that you should not go to forest. And then he says that if you are old enough to understand honor and dishonor, then you should be also old enough to understand that everything is happening by karma. You know, previous whatever happiness and distress, sufferings and enjoyment is all coming by the arrangement of karma, like, you know, our previous actions. You should be knowing that. You should not get disturbed. Everything is destined. Whatever comes from the Lord, we should accept it. You should not be like, you know, you should be happy and satisfied in all circumstances. And then he begins to tell that, you know, in whatever circumstances, like if you meet a very advanced devotee, how you have to behave, you have to show a lot of respect. And if somebody whom you meet equal, then you, whom you see lower than you, you have to be very compassionate. And somebody equal to you, you have to be very friendship. In this way, you will not be affected by all these things like that. Then Dhruva Maharaj says that the instruction, then you should now not do all these things, you know, you should go back. You are a small boy who is very interested in sports and frivolities. You should not, at this time of life, do all this, going to forest and this, doing this great austerities is not at all very easy. When you grow big, you can do all this, not at this point in time. So after telling, then of course Narada telling all this instruction, then Dhruva Maharaj is telling that, you know, you should not be disturbed by all this. Of course your instructions are very, very good, and people who are disturbed by this material condition of happiness and distress and all that, your instructions are very good for them to bring the peace of mind. But unfortunately, I am completely in ignorance. These instructions of yours, they do not touch my heart. Because I am very much, I am very impudent for not taking your instructions, because it is not my fault. Because I am born in a Kshatriya family, it is not my fault. Because I am naturally born in Kshatriya family, it is not my fault that I am not able to take your instruction. But just that at this point in time, I am very much aggrieved by this sharp arrow of words shot at me by my stepmother. So I am very much aggrieved. So at this point in time, these instructions, they do not touch my heart. Then he tells that, that's when he asks, I want a position more greater than my grandfather and great-grandfather. And his grandfather was, his father was the ruler of the world. And his great-grandfather was the ruler of the entire universe. And he wanted a position even higher than Brahma. And he did achieve that. He did achieve, he was so determined. Dhruva means that is what, fixed in whatever they want to get that. That is what the meaning of Dhruva means, determination. At such a young age, 5 years old, he was so determined. This is Kshatriya spirit running in his blood. Like, you know, even Krishna tells to Arjuna in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna, now influenced by false ego, you are declining to fight. Guess what? You will again act the same. You know, because you are by nature Kshatriya. You cannot be act like a Brahmana. By nature you are Kshatriya, you will again act the same. That is why in all situations, just act under my direction. Otherwise, fall because you will be lost. Krishna says, otherwise you will be lost. So by nature you are Kshatriya. Your nature is to fight. Otherwise, you will be getting this dishonor. For a Kshatriya, dishonor is worse than death. Because Kshatriyas are very, very powerful and they need that honor and prestige. You know, that is the power that Dhruva is showing at such a young age. Then of course, then Narad Muni, after telling that, then Dhruva tells that these instructions I cannot take. But then he tells that now you know my goal. What is my goal? To achieve a great position. Please tell me the process that I can follow so that I can achieve my goal. Then of course Narada Muni, he says that whatever your mother Suniti has said, please follow that devotional service. That is the perfect process. Perform devotional service to the Lord. And then he tells all the process how to perform the devotional service. He tells that first you go to the most auspicious place, bank of Yamuna River. On the bank of Yamuna River, there is an auspicious forest called Madhuvana. There you take bath 3 times in the Yamuna River, and then sit and meditate. Go to the forest and then meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he also gives a mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Then you install a deity. Then, you know, meditate on the Lord, and not only meditating on the Lord, follow the authorities and follow in their footsteps. And also while doing that, meditate on the form of the Lord. He says, how beautiful is the Lord, like his eyes, his Srivatsankam, all this very, very beautiful Srivatsa, all this, meditate on the beautiful form of the Lord. And not only that, hear the pastimes of the Lord also. So by doing all this, then you will attain your success in your life. Whatever goal will be fulfilled. So by hearing all these things, Dhruva Maharaj, of course, after telling all that, Narad Muni comes back and meets Uttanapada, King Uttanapada. He wants to see what's going on this other side, seeing what is happening. So when he comes to meet Uttanapada, Uttanapada is very much aggrieved and look very pale and morose and unhappy, withered away, withering, like very unhappy face. Then Narad Muni asks, you don't look very happy. What is the cause? Why? He says, oh, no, I'm so very, very, I was so much addicted to my wife, Suruchi, that I completely became so hard-hearted and became merciless. Such a small boy of 5 years old, he was my own son. He was trying to sit on my lap, but I did not even welcome him nor speak good words to him. I was so hard-hearted, so I really regret. And look at me, I have abandoned my son and my wife, who were great devotees like that. And I am now so much worried. Where is my son in the forest? Where is he? Who is protecting him? You know, he might be hungry. He might be sleeping somewhere. I am very much I'm very much worried about these things. And then Narad Muni says, don't worry. Your son is being looked after by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are six kinds of surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyati vishvaso goptritve varanam tata atmanikshepa karpanye shadvida sharanagati. So in the six kinds of surrender, in the six items of surrender are accepting things that are favorable in devotional service and rejecting things that are unfavorable, and then atmanikshepa. Then he says that accepting things that are favorable and rejecting things that are unfavorable, and thinking that the Lord will give protection under any circumstances, even when you are in forest. Because this is what was the worry of Uttanapada. I'm really worried about my son, where the wolf and jackals in the forest, they will eat him up, eat his body, like, you know. Who is going to protect him? This was the great worry of Uttanapada. Then Narad Muni is telling, don't worry, he's completely surrendered soul. He's like the Lord, one who is completely surrendered, they go to forest. Even that is the instruction of Prahalad Maharaja as well. Vanam gato yad dharima tat sadamanye suravarya dehinam sada samudvignadhiyam asat grahat hitvatma patam grahamandhakupam vanam gato yad dharima sreta. So, Prahlad Maharaj says, what I have learned from my spiritual master is that one who has accepted the household life is certainly fallen in a dark well and full of anxieties. So one should give up this life and go to Vana. Ideally, which Vana? Vrindavana, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent. And one should completely take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. So that is what Dhruva Maharaj did. He took shelter, and he was not like, you know. Then Narad Muni says, of course, even in the story of first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Vidura, after a long time of pilgrimage, meeting Maitreya Muni and hearing all this, for 30 years going on pilgrimage, hearing from Maitreya Muni, he again comes back to the palace. Then where was the need for Vidura to come back again? He renounced everything and he went away. Where was the need for Vidura to come back again? He wanted to give a big shake to his brother, who was making himself very comfortable at the ripe old age, after cheating all his brothers and usurping all, giving so many, trying to kill them, but all the six aggressions, or doing all this, and after in the battle all his sons died, and he's making himself very comfortable in the house of Yudhishthir Maharaj, and eating the food given by Bhima. Then he comes and tells, comes a wake up call to Dhritarashtra. Of course, when he comes, there's a very nice verse. Everybody welcome Vidura after a long time, and then Bhavadvida, Bhagavata, Stirti. You are like a holy place personified. Wherever you are there, you are carrying the Lord with you. Yudhishthir Maharaj, everybody giving very good respect. And after that, what happens? Dhritarashtra, he tells, how come you're sitting here? Aren't you ashamed? You did so much injustice to them. You tried to kill them by arson, and you tried to kill them by fire. So many. You took the side of your sons, and you taught. You were so like, you know. Actually, you should have given them complete guardian, and you should have been there for them throughout. But how injustice is. And today you are sitting in the house at a very comfort and eating the food given by Bhima. Aren't you ashamed? You are like a household dog. Then he gives him a shake. Get up immediately. Get out. This he tells in the night, even before the day dawns, before the light comes, get out. Then he takes him out. Then Gandhari says, where are you all going? I'm also going to come with you. Then Gandhari also goes. Of course, finally Dhritarashtra, by doing Ashtanga Yoga, he passes away. And Gandhari also, Sati, those days, and husband died in the same. So that's pastimes is over. So then in that section, Yudhishthir Maharaj, in the morning he wakes up. First of all, what is the culture in the Vedic culture? First they get up and offer obeisances to the elders. That is the perfect Vedic culture. Even Krishna followed that. In the daily activities of Krishna, when we read in the story, Krishna first he got up and offered obeisances to his parents. These are the examples we learn from these great souls. So he wanted to offer obeisances to his blind grandfather, the Dhritarashtra, and all these great souls, Vidura and all, can't see anybody. Where have they gone? He's in great anxiety now. Oh my God, where did my blind uncle go? Who is going to take care of him? But he's thinking that if he doesn't give protection, there's nobody to give. So in that section also, Narad Muni says that don't think that you are the protector here, you know. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the protector. So like that, you know, coming back to this Dhruva Maharaj, then he, Uttanapada thinks that, like, you know, who is going to protect? Then Narad Muni says, don't worry, your son is well protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And guess what? His fame is already spreading all over the universe. Then he says that, and afterwards Dhruva Maharaj, he performs great austerities following the footsteps, whatever Narad Muni says, he follows. And in the first month, he survives. Every third day, he eats only fruits and berries. Only every third day, that first month, not every day also. Every third day, he eats fruits and berries. And in the second month, he eats every 6 days, he eats only dry grass and leaves. Every 6 days, not even every day. And in the third month, he drinks only water. Every 9 days once, he drinks water. And in the fourth month, he is breathing once, he is inhaling only once in 12 days. And by doing all this, you know, he has practiced a perfect control of his mind and senses. This is very, very important. In the yoga practice, control of mind and senses is very, very important. Because unless one can control mind and senses, the yoga practice is useless. Because it is like igniting a fire at the same time pouring water on that fire. It's like that. Somebody trying to advance in Krishna consciousness at the same time engaging in sense gratification is like trying to ignite a fire at the same time pouring water on it. So that is why if one cannot control the mind and senses, it's only a waste of time. One cannot practice. So Dhruva Maharaj, by completely controlling this breathing process and all, breathing, inhaling once in 12 days, and by practice complete breath control, and he controlled his mind and senses, and he became so heavy, like by the end of that month, he could become so perfect in controlling the breathing that he could control completely close all the holes of his body and become so perfect that he could, just by standing on the one leg, you know how Hiranyakashipu stood one on one leg, he completely balanced himself on one leg for so long. And not only that, with his toe, he pushed the earth also. That was the power of austerity he did. He could push the earth, and with the heaviness of his meditation on Lord Vishnu, he could see the Lord within his heart. With that heaviness, he completely choked the all the demigods started to become suffocation, and they could breathe. They couldn't breathe. Everything was choked up. At that time, immediately all the demigods surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They said, what is going on? We are not able to breathe. Demigods, any problem, surrender. Any problem, immediate. See, this is the difference between divine and demoniac. Any problem, immediate surrender. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then they ask, we are not able to. Then the Supreme Personality, don't worry, this is all due to my great devotee doing severe austerities. I'm going to go there and then look, stop all these things. Then when the Lord came, of course, when the Dhruva Maharaj was very much intensely, very much absorbed in the beautiful form of the Lord, looking at the beautiful of the form of the Lord within his heart, and suddenly the form disappeared. And he was very perturbed and his meditation broke. Immediately he opened and saw, and the Lord was standing right in front of him. He was very much like perturbed and shocked, like, you know. And he saw the beautiful form of the Lord with great respect. He offered obeisances and fell like a rod on the floor at the feet of the Lord. And then when he saw the Lord, he could see the beauty of the Lord. He could see that, drink that from his eyes. And then he offered all, he was completely ecstatic in love of Godhead. Then at that time, what happened? The Lord was very much pleased to see Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Maharaj approached the Lord, and he was very much in awkward position. He wanted to say the prayers. He couldn't because of his immaturity. He could not say the prayers. But the Lord, understanding his awkward position, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, bestowed his mercy by touching the conch shell upon his head. Immediately, he felt so enlightened. He got this, the conclusion of the perfection of Vedic conclusion. He understood. And then he could offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. So in this way, the Dhruva Maharaj, he pleased, and then the Lord was so pleased, he said that although you have asked for very ambitious, your desires were very ambitious, but nevertheless, I am very pleased by your austerities. I will reward you the pole star, the glowing star, which, you know, even at the time of dissolution, this will remain as it is. It will not be disturbed. And you will enjoy, as long as you live, you will enjoy for the 30, when your father leaves to the forest, and then handovers you the kingdom for 36,000 years, you will rule the entire kingdom very happily, enjoy material happiness, and at the end of life, you will go back to Godhead. Of course, while he goes, of course, we see that Pushpaka Vimana will come, and he's seeing that he steps on the death, and then he's seeing the flower aeroplane coming, and he's seeing at the back, what about my poor mother? Who was my actual guru, Pada Pradakshaka Guru. So in the process of our devotional service, that's what I was going to tell. Not only our spiritual master, there are so many people involved, right from the time whom we meet, who will introduce us to Krishna consciousness, and in the process there may be other people who might be guiding us in devotional service. They are all also should be respected. Like one of the lectures I heard about Gaur Gopal Prabhu. In that, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, very nicely he tells that we should be very, very, very much indebted to people who today, whatever we are, it is not our credit. There are so many people behind what I am today. It is not like sitting here talking. It's not like that. There are so many people reason for me becoming so great today. First, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, he tells, first it's my father and mother. They taught me good samskaras, taught me good things right from my birth. And then there were so many spiritual mentors. And when I went to school, I remember this Vijayalakshmi teacher, you know. She was so kind and she taught me so much, so nice. You know, from her I taught, so learned so many things. And my spiritual mentors, right from the time whom I met, who brought me to the temple, then later on who guided me, who gave me guidance. All these people are very, very important. Of course, my Guru Maharaj, who is His Holiness Radhanath Swami. And in the process, so many people, I am very much indebted to them. Today, whatever position I got, it is not only me. I don't take credit for that. Maybe, of course, I might have put some effort to give this lecture, but I don't completely agree that everything is done by me. So many people behind this, you know. So I am very, very deeply indebted to them. That's what Gaur Gopal says. Today what I am, whatever I am saying, I am deeply indebted to them. This is the mood a devotee should have. Today, okay, I am getting all the, like I know so much this. Okay, that is all good, but you know, you have to understand the source who is giving this. Of course, ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is sending, even Dhruva Maharaj, when he wanted to do this austerities to please, to attain his actually material ambitions, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he approached the proper goal, he sent Narada Muni, his representative, so that he gives him guidance to achieve his goal, even though it was material. So doesn't matter, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharadi, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one who has broader intelligence, whether they are full of material desires or no desires at all, or desiring liberation, in all circumstances one has to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of everything. Janmadyasya tonvayad itaratas charteshu abhignas varat. Tene brahma hrudayadi kavaye mohyanti yat surayaha. Tejo varimrudam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo mrisha. Dhamna svena sadan irashtakuhakam satyam param dhimahi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the source of everything. Janmadyasya, everything is emanating from him. Bhagavad Gita says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matah sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all these material and spiritual worlds. Everything is emanating from me. So if we take shelter of him, what do we have to worry about? Anything. Sarva dharman parityaja, mamekam sharanam raja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo, mokshayishyami mahasachaha. Give up all dharmas. What type of dharmas? Any dharma that stops to surrender at the Supreme Personality of Godhead, give up all such dharma. The Lord is telling. Give up all the dharma that stops to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the dharma you have to give up. Thank you all very, very much for very patiently listening. It was a bit long lecture. However, I really appreciate your patience. Thank you all very much. Any questions if you have, if I can answer? Otherwise, there are senior devotees here who can answer. So, from Dhruva Maharaj pastimes, how like Krishna also Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Dhruva Maharaj sustained with only very bare minimum fruit and berries first month, second month with leaves and, you know, very, very bare minimum. Krishna tells that in Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, 16th and 17th verse, the Lord says, Natyashnatastu yogosti nachaikanta manashnataha nachati swapna shilasya jagrato naivacharjana. One should not eat too much nor eat too little, nor sleep too much nor sleep too little. A yogi should be perfectly balanced everything. And he says that yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmashu yukta swapnava bhodasya yogo bhavati dukkaha. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. The Lord says that everything should be very regulated. Follow the regulated principles. Of course, today we cannot, of course, even though Dhruva Maharaj is our acharya in this respect, but we cannot do the very perfect disciplines and like what Dhruva Maharaj did, this great austerities, but by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we can definitely do the austerity of following the four regulative principles. What is the four regulative principles? No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex and no intoxication, and chanting the holy name of Krishna 16 rounds minimum every day, and also eating Krishna Prasadam. We can definitely get what Dhruva Maharaj got. But the process is so simplified by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even the simplest of the simple, we need only determination. This is what we have to learn from the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj. How determined he was. And we should not, like Krishna tells also in Bhagavad Gita, Matra asparshastu kaunte ya sitoshna sukhadukkada agamapai no nitya stam stitik shasva bharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. O son of Bharata, one must learn to tolerate such onslaughts, and one should not, these, like, you know, for example, now it is winter, very hard, 3 o'clock alarm ringing, go to sleep, oh my God, okay, or maybe postpone for another hour, like that, you know. So, like, you know, this is the austerity. Dhruva Maharaj did so much austerity, but we are not able to get up very early in the winter month. Very cold. Very cold. So we have to, Krishna is telling that in the process of the discharge of our prescribed duties, we should not be disturbed by these onslaughts. In the purport, Prabhupada gives the example, the women, even the hottest month, 45 degrees, still she has to cook. She should not think, oh, it's very hot, I'm not going to cook, let my husband go and eat in the hotel. No, she has to still do. So she has to learn to tolerate the happiness and distress, honor, dishonor, all these things we have to learn to tolerate. That's the Arjuna is saying, how can I do this? Then Krishna is telling, you have to tolerate these things. Then not only that, a woman has to cook 45 degrees, and even in the coldest of the cold month, Magha, in India, of course, December, here it is May, June. So very coldest months, one should not think that, oh, I don't want to get up for Mangalarti, oh, it's very cold. Still you have to perform, because to raise up to the knowledge, one has to learn to tolerate these onslaughts, happiness, distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor. All these things pertain to the body. They come from sense perception, no? So one must raise about that to come to the platform of knowledge. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.